Welcome to Building Great Leaders with Dr. Les Olala.
Don't stop and have to start up against something somewhere else, and you'll have to start again from ground zero.
On today's program, Dr. Olala focuses our attention on what the scripture says about persevering through difficulties. This message was recorded at a chapel service in 2002. Building Great Leaders provides instruction, encouragement, and resources for Christian leaders. You can learn more at bgleaders.org, bgleaders.org. Our speaker, Dr. Les Olala, is the founder and director of Building Great Leaders and has been serving the Lord in full-time ministry for 50 years as a pastor, Bible college president, and evangelist. And now, persevering through difficulties.
Is it a sin to be discouraged? Is it a sin to doubt? Or maybe, let me ask, did the Apostle Paul, as spirit-filled as he was, ever get to a point where God had to tell him, Paul, don't be afraid? I mean, how can Paul be afraid facing the lions? How can he be afraid flying in the face of those governmental authorities with the gospel, facing a demon-possessed person on Cyprus, walking 1,250 miles on foot overland in very dangerous territory? In fact, he makes reference to at times of peril and times of robbers. I think in reference particularly to that first journey when he was going on foot some 1,200 miles all told in dangerous territory, having been stoned and left for dead. Did God ever have to tell Paul, Paul, don't be afraid? And if Paul was afraid, was he in sin? Have you ever come into a time in your life when you think, I cannot go one more step? I am flattened flat. I'm just like a grand piano fell out of a top story, third story window and landed on me on the sidewalk, and I'm flattened flat. Paul got to that point, I believe. We look in the book of Acts chapter 18 and verse 1. Acts chapter 18 and verse 1. I believe it is possible to get to a point of exhaustion and then have to be built up again by friendships and built up again by the Word. And I would propose to you that you, even sitting here tonight, may be in a position of doubt or maybe in a position of fear or position of wondering whether you have the energy to go through another semester. But I want to take some things from the life of the Apostle Paul, and I believe they'll be an encouragement and a challenge to us and to tell us to keep on going in spite of some things. Verse 1 of chapter 18, after these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth. Now that statement is just one short phrase, but it's just packed. Paul just came from Athens, and for a man burning with a prophet zeal to have smug, complacent listeners at Mars Hill was more than I believe his prophet nature could bear. When he got into ministry there in Mars Hill, he had just come from Philippi. You remember the call in Troas, come over and help us. The beginning of the ministry there in Europe, the first European convert, Lydia. And there Paul was beaten in Philippi. He goes down to Thessalonica. He faced physical beating. He faced civil beating in the town of Thessalonica. Some believe that a rude an edict was actually passed if Paul ever entered that city again, that the believers, those who were followers of the way, would be beaten and persecuted. And perhaps that's what Paul meant when he said, I would come to you, but Satan hindered me. I'd like to come see you face to face, but Satan has hindered me. So he was beaten and jailed in Philippi. First time he was in the clink. Then he was run out of town. Then he goes to Berea and is run out of town. The people that came, the persecutors and the haters came, and he got out of town so quickly. And then he gets down to Athens. And he gets to Mars Hill. And his spirit is stirred in him. And you're familiar with his ministry there on Mars Hill. Some mocked, some procrastinated, and a few believed. But Paul got into philosophy, quoting Erethes and Cleanthes, the Greek poets, obviously what he had learned at the U of J. And brought that out. But you'll note in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 1, he comes alone to Corinth. He got out of Athens and he comes alone to Corinth. And what did he say? I determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. He said, I did not come to you with excellency of speech. I come to you rather in fear and in trembling. Just straight from that Mars Hill experience to Corinth, and he has a new determination to know nothing among them save Jesus Christ and him crucified. So here comes Paul. He left so quickly from Athens that he even left Timothy and Titus there back, and he was alone. Paul went on in spite of friends. Sometimes one of the hardest things you'll do in surrendering to ministry is to make a surrender when a friend would abandon you. When a friend would say, I don't understand your thinking, and you end up alone right in the midst of some of the most unpleasant circumstances. In fact, in the testimony of the Apostle Paul, one of the things that was a great disappointment to him in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 16 and following, he said, at my first answer, no man stood with me. All men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord delivered me from every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and forever. Amen. But in this context, Paul was alone as he came into Corinth. He went on in spite of friends. Timothy and Titus were still back trying to establish that Paul could not stay. He was run out of town, and Timothy and Titus had to stay and try to strengthen those new converts. Going on in spite of friends, stood alone. I think one of the great things as you all go into ministry, learn the blessing of teamwork. I think one of the great dangers in ministry is trying to do ministry alone. Find a partner, find a worker. Dr. Vaughn and I have had such a great working relationship for so many years, over 30, probably 32 years now. And you know, you have a laughing partner, you have a praying partner, you have someone with whom you can share the things that would be very, very depressing and discouraging if you were to be in the midst of that alone. But you would have someone that would be a partner. But there are going to be times when you will have to be alone, and you will have to stand alone, and you will just have to make a determination that it's me and God, and we're going forward from here. And then he went on in spite of funds. Look in verse 2, and found a certain Jew named Aquila and Priscilla, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome, and came unto them. Because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought, for by their occupation they were tent makers. Aquila and Priscilla, probably very well to do. In fact, she was connected. Oftentimes her name is mentioned first. She was connected with a very wealthy, well-known Roman family. But yet, obviously, because of the Jewish relationship, this anti-Semitic move that went when this leader was having whatever, whether it was a low blood sugar, whatever they people blame their depression on today. But they were run out, and they had to come with their trade and with their craft to Corinth. And here Paul meets them. Paul, having been a tent maker, he meets Aquila and Priscilla. He was of the same craft. He had a trade. What the Jews would do is they would have some formal education, then they would have some hand skill. A good friend of ours, Dr. Wolfram, he was in a church when we pastored in South Carolina. He was telling us how he was raised as a Jewish boy. Native tongue was German. He learned Hebrew as a child. He learned Greek as a child. He had, I think, spoke six or seven different languages. In fact, he was teaching three languages when I met him. But he said, we also had to learn a trade with our hands. And I think this is probably true of the Apostle Paul. Jesus learned the carpentry trade. More accurately with stonemasonry. If you've ever been in Israel very much, you know there's not a whole lot of lumber to work with unless it's shipped in. So a lot of the carpentry was actually stonemasonry. But there was a hand skill that was made. And so Paul took advantage of that which he had in his background and that which he had in his training, because in his many of his places, he said, I determined not to be owing to any of you. So he was making his own money, laboring with his hands, that he would be chargeable to no one. One of the big things you're facing right now, many of you are facing right now, is going on in spite of funds. You have your faith going strong right now for this coming Friday. Because some of you know by this Friday, it's do or die. But next Friday, that money will have to be there. And that can be a great test of your character. Well, I remember when I got into college, I had come from making some real good money, had money saved, I had a new car, and then it wasn't long. Once you start into college and traveling expenses, pretty soon I sold a car, and then pretty soon I ran out of dollars, and I was down to washing my clothes by hand. I didn't even have enough coins left. And I was working stage crew. I got my first childhood disease ever. Never had any childhood disease. I got measles. When I was a freshman in college, that was the first one I got. And I was so whooped, getting no sleep. I had to study my lectures. And you take Dr. Panosian's history class and have to learn it all by cue card that someone else took notes for you and studying at 4 a.m. Then I would sleep on the sidewalk in front of the dorm till the night watchman would come by and let me in the dorm. And I'd get to go in and sleep from 4 to about 6 and then have to go back during production weeks and go back into time. And I ended up with measles of all the stupid things. But I got down to going to the basement of Smith Dorm. So twice that semester, I went down there. But going on in spite of funds. The Apostle Paul probably could have looked back and said, you know, I could have used my training. I could have used my degrees. He had such a vision of God, and he had such a passion after he had that face-to-face meeting with Jesus Christ, and he had gotten his marching orders to the Gentile world. I don't think he was ever thinking in his mind, boy, I had it made. But nonetheless, he went on in spite of funds. Philippians 4:13, my God shall supply, 4:19, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches. Singular. We have one need, that is our intimacy in our relationship with him. And then the things are going to be added. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So you go on, in spite of friendships, in spite of funds, and then it says in verse 4, and he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks, and when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, now they're coming down, to join Paul. Paul had been alone up to this point. Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. And when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto them, your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From henceforth I will go unto the Gentiles. And he departed thence and entered into a certain man's house named Justus, one that worshipped God, whose house joined hard to the synagogue. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house, and many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by vision, be not afraid, but speak and hold not thy peace. Aha, here we find Paul had become afraid. Paul went on in spite of feelings. You may be feeling right now as low as a snake's belly in a wagon rut, which I think is the reference in Psalm 119, though my soul cleaveth unto the dust. I actually think that's a picture of a serpent motivating along the dust, actually being propelled along by the dust. And as low as a snake's belly in a wagon rut, David said, quicken thou me according to thy word. Make me come alive according to thy word. Because David had gotten to such a point of feeling so depressed and so down and so negative that the word literally had to make him alive again internally. So Paul went on in spite of feelings. 2 Corinthians 1:8, the things that have happened, he said unto me, have happened in order that I might be able to comfort them with the same comfort wherewith I myself am comforted of God. Telling the Corinthians, when you go through these trials and these times and these feelings, it is for your own blessing that you in turn might be a blessing to someone else. Remember, Paul had just come from culture shock at Athens. Now he is in moral shock in Corinth. No sleep, jailed, beatings, run out of town, running into intellectuals. I think when he hit those intellectual airheads at Mars Hill, I think that wore him out more than all the beatings and the jailings. Now he lands in Corinth, a wicked city. For 500 years, the word to Corinthianize meant to be sexually immoral. In other words, he was Corinthianizing for 500 years. That meant that he was sexually immoral. Every night, thousands of prostitutes would descend on Corinth to ply their trade. Homosexuality was rampant. Direct reference, when Paul wrote to Romans 1, he was writing directly in relationship to what was going on, what he saw going on in Corinth. Homosexuality rampant. After the culture shock, now very depressing morals, he needed a word from heaven. Ever get so worn out, you turn on the evening news and you think, why in the world is God not big enough to catch Wiggly Beard? That I said long months ago, I said, he's driving cab in New York City. That lily liver isn't staying. He's telling everybody else go and die. He's been driving cab in New York City for who knows how long already. But I know one thing. He's not in Afghanistan. He's somewhere else barking orders to die for him. But you know, God knows all of that. God knows all about the wickedness. God knows all about the culture in which we are, where we had to minister and we're encircled by these things. I don't think we're facing anything near what Paul was facing here in Corinth. And yet there comes a time when you have to go on in spite of your feeling. You'll come a time this semester, you will feel so lousy and you will feel so low and you will feel so down that you just have to say, no, I'm God's. Philippians chapter 1, Paul said, in nothing terrified by my adversary. I'm not going to be terrified by my adversary. So Paul went on in spite of fears. There we see in verse 9, then the Lord spake to Paul in the night by vision, be not afraid. Two good commands. Don't be afraid and speak. God said, I'm going to give you a peace and I'm going to give you a program. Continue speaking like you have been speaking. For I am with thee, and no man shall sin on neither hurt thee. For I have much people in this city, many people yet to be won. And he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. Went on in spite of fears. You know, most of the fears we have are things that will never happen. You put fears on your charge account, the things that are afraid, and it's so defeating to live with that kind of fear. Paul could have looked back and said, I had it made. No, I think Paul was so passionate when the Lord would speak to him. But I do believe he got to a point of just plain old tired. And not only tired, he got to a place of maybe afraid to take the next step because of the threats that were there, even on in spite of fears. What are you afraid of? Dollars, the academic, maybe you're crippled of your ability, whether or not you can do what you are here to do. The hero goes on anyway. I don't think a hero in war is one who is not afraid. I think a hero is one who goes into battle scared stiff, but yet he goes anyway. And then Paul went on by faith. He said, the Lord spake to Paul, God's word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. How are we going to go? By faith. Hebrews 11 says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. There is a time when you just have to say, God said it in his word. I believe that. I am going to go on. And then God says, I will protect you. Don't be afraid. Don't hold your peace. Don't stop preaching. For I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee. The faith in that promise. How many times do we see that Old and New Testament where we see the protection of God over his servants? There are not enough bullets in the devil's munition dump to knock you out of the battle until God is done with you. You just have to go on by faith. But some people get up against a little tiny thing called finance. Oh, I can't live that way. Miss an opportunity to be a blessing. Miss an opportunity to serve. Miss an opportunity to let God show himself mighty in some way and then take on some flesh plan of how they're going to make their life come out the way they want to. And you know what? God will have to keep cornering until you get to a point where you say, God, I believe you're big enough to do what you said, and I'm going to take your word and I'm going to take your promise and I'm going to go on to see that work completed. You'll be the one preaching here. Heart Conference, you'll be the one preaching here in Missions Conference. You'll be the one preaching chapels, teaching classes. But you'll be going on. Some will get blown out of the water because they're tired of trying to walk by faith and tired of trying to step by faith. Take the life of the Apostle Paul, just one little block of time as he goes into Corinth. And I think you'll see a great reason for encouragement. It's possible to get tired and weary and discouraged and doubting and fearful. But it's also true that God will send his word, his messenger, to lift up the heart, to strengthen the heart, to keep you going on the way you are to be going on. And next thing you know, you'll be done. You'll be able to say at commencement, it is finished. And I'm moving on to my next phase of life. Don't stop short of that. Let the Lord have his way in you. Don't stop and have to start up against something somewhere else, and you'll have to start again from ground zero. Just keep on kicking. The life years ago, I read about a farmer who was milking back in the old days when they milking into pails. Well, a couple frogs jumped into the milk pail. Well, he said, I can't use that milk. So he just set the milk off to the side and they were kicking in there. Came back in a barn the next morning. One frog was gone and the other one was floating on a chunk of butter. One quit and clugged to the bottom. The other one kept kicking till he churned up. And all I'm saying, you frog heads, keep kicking and things will get better. Things will smoothen out. Keep on going. Even for us old timers. I read something in Mary's. I went to, because I was batching it this weekend before I went to preach this retreat. I went to Mary's for breakfast. And they had an assigned thought for the day. You may be a senior citizen if your clothes are as old as your kids. And I do marvel every time we have old-fashioned days and you have to have polyester, everyone descends on me. Now, why would that be? You think, I tell Charlene, don't throw these away. These styles have come back. They have three times already. So last week, Charlene said, I'm cleaning the closet and you're not going to see what's in those bags. I said, well, do it. I won't be pained. Because if I'm standing there watching these things disappear, it's just such a pain. Oh, blessed polyester. Don't leave me now. Let's have a great semester. Let's go on. Let's not look back. Let's not give Satan one advantage. But bury our heads in the Word and let the Lord build us and strengthen us to go on for what He'd have us to do.
Thank you for joining us for Building Great Leaders today. Dr. Les Olala speaking on persevering through difficulties. This program is a ministry of Building Great Leaders, providing instruction, encouragement, and resources for Christian leaders, and is produced by Harvest Ministries on Guam. You can learn more at bgleaders.org, bgleaders.org. Join us again for more teaching from the Word of God next time on Building Great Leaders.